On Monday, the Monday after St. Thomas Sunday, I left for the Home Church of the Holy Cross in West Virginia for an 8-day retreat. And my plane flight was supposed to be at 10, but it was delayed. And then I had to, because of the delay, would miss my connection, so I had to make another connection. And then when it finally left at Dallas, it was too late for me to make the connection. So I have ended up getting to the monastery 13 hours after I started at the airport. So it gave me a lot of time to think and to pray and to be in a loud, chaotic airport. And I think it was a good beginning because, first of all, I had to be patient. And it wasn't so hard being patient because, after all, I was on my best behavior. I was interested in doing a spiritual retreat, so I wasn't gonna get angry about trivial things like some plane delays. But in the airport, it was loud and it was pointless. So much TV was on, and even if you try not to listen, you hear it. You can't stop listening to something. I cannot look at it, but you hear it, and it's nonsense. The news is nonsense, and it's just one crisis after another, and just kind of pointless. And it's really hard to concentrate. But even in the midst of all that, I read and I prayed a couple catechisms of the Psalter and read several chapters of St. John and a couple other things. And but I was kind of interested to see people that were busy. You know, they're going places, they're doing things, scurrying around, and I'm scurrying around too to go to the monastery. And I wonder if my scurrying around will be fruitful for my soul. And what scurrying do I do that is fruitful for my soul? Or how much time do I waste? I heard one man talking about that he had to fly all the way to the East Coast. This was when we were sitting in Dallas. All the way to the East Coast for a 2-hour meeting on Wednesday. And he already was flying on Monday to go somewhere and to come back Tuesday night. And then he'd turn around Wednesday morning, fly out for a 2-hour meeting, and fly home. And he was kind of wondering what the point was. And I don't know if his meeting would be a fruitful one or not. That doesn't matter. But what matters to me is that the things we do, are they valuable or not? Just wondering. How much valuable stuff do I do? I hope I do a lot of valuable stuff, but I'm not so sure. So that's part of why I'm going to the monastery, just to try to, just to focus on spiritual things and just to be away from some of the pastoral pressures for a little while. But, you know, I can't hide. I can run, but I certainly can't hide. So in Charlotte, when I was delayed because I missed my connecting flight by 5 minutes, I was talking to a man, came over and recognized my cross and stuff, started talking to me. And he was very heavy on doctrine. He thought, you know, John the Revelator and the Daniel and Revelations was so important to him. And he gave me some references about the Sea of Glass and all kinds of other stuff. And I'm just thinking, as he's talking to me, that I think with people that are not in the Orthodox Church, a lot of times doctrine really matters. That's their expression of their faith is doctrine. My expression of my faith is not doctrine. Doctrine supports my faith. It has to be true in order to be my faith. But the expression of my faith is found in worship and in the ascetical struggle to be better. It's a significant difference. I noticed that also when I was a Protestant for a while, that doctrine was critically important as basically a calling card of Christianity. And I don't think it is in Orthodoxy. You must have true doctrine in order to have the church. But we don't have the end all be all that we believe these things about Christ. We have the end all be all that we become these things about Christ. It's a big difference. And when I saw the services the following day, because I arrived too late for them on Monday. I just felt this is the expression of faith that warms my soul. Just to pray the psalms and other hymns and to feel it in your heart. Another thing that happened on Monday was because I was at the airport so long, I heard a lot about the Donald Sterling controversy. And he's an owner of the LA Clippers, and he said some very racist remarks about black people, even though he has in the past supported the NAACP and other things. But it's clear that he has a much different attitude about black people than his public persona. And there's a lot of outrage about his remarks, and justly, there should be outrage. He said terrible things. But I really wonder if the language that was being used about his about him was that he's not inclusive and that he's not I didn't hear hate speech, but I think that part of that is some people would say there's hate speech involved. Certainly his comments were hateful and racist and bigoted. But some of that same language is used when people say the Christian understanding of sexuality and particularly of homosexuality. I think it's coming in our lifetime soon when the comments that Donald Sterling made will be those egregious comments. That's the way people will think about any comment about homosexuality except full-fledged acceptance. And it will be termed hate speech. I was told a story by someone that there's a program in a school where people would not talk for a whole day to show that the LGBTQ community is being silenced. Well, I don't think they're being silenced. I think they're being kind of loud. But anyway, they had this program, and people would not talk all day to show their solidarity. And one teacher, who's like an evangelical Christian, said, I don't like that because I think that Christians are being silenced about their viewpoint about this, that they believe that certain sexual activities are sins and are detrimental to the soul. Well, he found out that the faculty that were heard him talk about it left very quickly, and later on he found out that the faculty were spreading a story that he hates gays. He never said anything of the sort. He didn't say he hates gays. He just said that he thinks that Christians are being silenced about their moral viewpoint of gays. And of course, that's true. That is happening. But what people believe is what they believe. And soon, comments that are scriptural are going to be considered to be hate speech and perhaps illegal. So we must be ready. We must pray, especially.